six, but I didn't have anything to polish.
Hello, Linda.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good morning. I'm calling this meeting to order, Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Human Services. It's Monday, March 30th. We have a public hearing this morning, Senate Bill 5526, Oregon Health Authority. Ms. Ames.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, today we'll hear the agency presentation from the Public Employees Benefit Board and the Oregon Educators Benefit Board. Same people, two boards.
Okay, and I'd like to mention that the House is present. The senators are excused for different reasons. We expect at least two of the senators to join us in a little while as their schedules permit them. But we're going to go ahead and start the public hearing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Co-Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, my name is Kathy Loretz. I'm the interim administrator for the Public Employees Benefit Board and the Oregon Educators Benefit Board.
For the record, my name is Ali Hassoun. I am the Public Employees Benefit Board's Director of Operations.
And for the record, Kate Nass with the Chief Financial Office at Department of Administrative Services.
Thank you so much for allowing us to give you a brief kind of overview of our agency. The Public Employees Benefit Board designs, contracts, and administers high-quality benefits for agencies, state agencies, semi-independent agencies, universities, and all of their dependents. The Oregon Educators Benefit Board designs and contracts for benefits for school districts, education service districts, charter schools. And with the passage of House Bill 2279 in 2013, cities, counties, and special districts can now join either PEB or OEP. So PEB and OEP have both been faced with the same challenges when it came to group insurance, and that is how to moderate premium costs, promote member health, and ensure that we're purchasing high-quality benefits. The next two slides will show that PEP and OEP have moderated these premium increases and surpassed the annual medical cost trend in Oregon. There are several factors that have contributed to the positive impact or direction of our benefits. And for the PEP side, the premium increases, of course, are related to the health care costs and the medical inflation. To help moderate this, PEB has increased the number of our members in patient center primary care homes, also known as PCPCHs. We've implemented an additional cost tier for to promote value-based drugs or benefits. We've implemented plan designs that are aimed at reducing barriers for our members that have chronic care diseases. We've achieved better cost and quality controls through direct contracting and tighter metrics. The PEB and OEB administrator has maintained a leadership role both nationally and in Oregon when it comes to purchasing commercial medical plans, and we have been investing in our employees' health as we move forward.
This is a huge success. I'm resisting the temptation.
Ms. Saxton, please join us even just for 30 seconds.
Representative Nathanson and the committee, I just want to, sometimes we go through information
record.
And kind of, Lynn Saxton, Director of the Oregon Health Authority. These people have done heroic, amazing healthcare record setting, nationally comparable, benchmarked, incredible stuff. And so I didn't do an out loud round of applause because my staff encouraged me not to be so inappropriate. I want you to look at that curve going down. That is nothing short of amazing, and we could not be more proud of PEB and their efforts and taxpayers, and you should be ecstatic. So.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Representative,
if I may, I was looking at that just before Ms. Saxton got up, and I was thinking, those are negatives. That is incredible.
Yes. So we used to refer to bending the curve, just trying to make the rate of increase less. We've actually got it tipping the other direction now.
Thank you.
So take the rest of the day off.
No, we have 48 more slides.
So on the OEB side, they also have the same cost drivers of increased rates and trend. They have been working with their carrier partners to pilot and develop alternative delivery and payment methodologies that align with both the OHA and OEB's goals and principles. They have increased their membership of their members who are in a PCPCH, patients in a primary care home, from 20% in 2012 up to 52% in 2013. So that's a pretty good jump there. They've also implemented the additional cost tier. They have reduced barriers to care for our members that have chronic diseases. And they have included the MOTA Health's Chronic Care Coordination Program that targets the top 5% members who have the highest spend. They have a special program for them to help them access care and help them with their chronic diseases. Again, this is a pretty great slide from our point of view. I think it's really great. Both boards are invested in improving the health and of their members. Again, we've been advancing the patient-centered primary care home. 100% of the medical homes in the Providence Choice Plan are PCPCH recognized, and 56% of the MOTA health medical homes are PCPCH recognized. Both PEB and OEB pay the patient-centered primary care homes a per-member-per-month amount to encourage them. And then on the member side, to encourage the use of patient-centered primary care homes, PEP members who are in the statewide plan pay 10% coinsurance instead of 15%. And on the OEB side, they pay a copayment instead of a coinsurance, and there's no deductible. So there's a big incentive for our members to use a patient-centered primary care home. Both boards focus on prevention and wellness through no low-cost maintenance drugs. We have wellness visits that are no-cost to our members. We promote the expansion of the use of generic drugs. We have both sites have a very high rate. We're trying to help our members understand the value of better care, coordination, and to encourage our members to fully utilize the available health and wellness programs that they have so that they can control some of the risks that they have control over. PEB and OEB are committed to advancing the use of evidence and outcomes and spreading the coordinated care model throughout PEB and OEB populations. Our carrier contracts have been modified to promote regional systems of care. They include provider quality measures. We promote administrative simplification, streamlining of processes, and the meaningful use of electronic medical records. Both boards are contracting with health systems accountable performance through putting their administrative fees at risks. And we've been increasing the use of decision support tools through the plans, utilizing best practices to manage and coordinate the care, sharing responsibility for health between the clinical provider, the plan, and the member, and paying providers for outcomes and health. Both PEB and OEB have implemented value-based plan designs, and these value-based plan design has benefits that are at low cost to the member for services that are lower risk and more efficacious. These include things like no cost for chronic care visits. We have a value drug list that is no cost to our members. We have no cost for substance abuse treatments, inpatient and outpatient, and we have recently implemented wellness visits at no cost to the members. And the flip side of that is we have higher costs for services that are higher risk, such as an additional cost pay for advanced medical or advanced imaging technologies, sleep studies, and endoscopies. PEB has entered into a pilot in the Portland area for bundled payment for knee replacements as an alternative payment methodology. And OEB has a reference priced system for knee and hip replacements that comes with a travel benefit. And this encourages members to use lower cost hospitals.
What? Explain a little bit more to me, since I just had mine done 6 months ago. Knee, that is, not hip.
Okay.
The bundle? How's that work?
Representative Nathanson and Representative Olson. A bundled payment is a a set amount of money that is available for the cost of the hospital, surgeon, anesthesiologist, lab, x-ray, all of the services, and it's just a set amount, and it's up to the providers involved in your care to decide how to share that amount of money, that funding. On the flip side of that, a reference priced service would be a maximum amount that you would that would be available for a hospital stay, and that it would be up to the member to make the decision to use a hospital that would charge no more than that, or go to a different hospital, pay the difference between the reference price and the cost of the service at that hospital.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Our challenges include controlling costs with an aging population with chronic with a pretty high chronic disease burden, as well as educating our members to be active participants in their health care, and encouraging members to improve their health and reduce those health risks that they have some control over. Pevano, a partner with the Oregon Health Authority's Public Health Division biannually to do the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey for state and school employees. The results guide both boards in making their decisions. Some of the examples of the benefits that have been added due to the outcomes of the survey are benefits for tobacco use, obesity, diabetes, depression and anxiety, and other chronic diseases. You can see the PEB a member obesity rate has dropped continually since 2007, and the percentage of our members that use tobacco is well below the average for employed insured adults in Oregon, which is 14.4%. On the OEB side, they have the same sort of outcomes. Their obesity rate dropped from 2009 to 2011. At 11 and then kind of flattened out. But again, the percentage of members who smoke is well below the 14.4% average of adult insured Oregonians. The survey also shows that colorectal and other preventive screenings rates have continued to increase over the years. Our members continue to report that their health status is good or excellent. And our member absenteeism for health reasons has been declining over the years. On the OEB side, same results. Colorectal screenings and other preventive screenings continues to increase. Their members also are reporting that they are have a health status of good or excellent, and their absenteeism rate for medical health reasons has also decreased. So now we're going to take a look at PEB specifically. As most of you know, the PEB board is made up of 8 voting members, 4 represent labor, 4 represent management, and then we have 2 non-voting advisory members, which is Senator Betsy Johnson and Representative Brian Clem. Here's our organizational chart. The administrator position is shared between PEB and OEB currently. And although we do have separate organizational charts, we do work together to collaboratively to align our programs and to gain efficiencies when possible. We serve different populations, so it is a little, and the communication lines are a little bit different. An example of that is PEB is a single employer with 5 payroll systems, and OEB works with 247 separate employers and all of their payroll centers. So they have a more complex system that they work. PEB designs, contracts, and administers the benefits for 130,000 Oregonians, and this includes agency employees and their dependents, university employees and their dependents, lottery and semi-independent agencies and employees and their dependents, and we also have a small number of COBRA participants, self-pay members, and early retirees. PEB's operating our revenue sources include an operating account and a revolving fund account. The operating account is used for such things as personnel, supplies, rent, other operating needs. The main revenue source for this is an assessment on premiums. Statutorily, we can have up to 2% assessment. We currently have a 0.4% assessment on premiums to cover our operating costs. The revolving account is used to pay fully insured plans, premiums, self-insured claims. We also have wellness programs that we pay out of that account, and we subsidize premiums if needed. And the main revenue source for the revolving fund is premiums. PEB's total fund budget is $1.65 billion. Of that, the operating budget is $9.9 million, or about 6% of the total funds. The balance of the total funds is held in the stabilization reserve for self-insured coverage and payment of claims. PEB is required to keep a certain amount of money on hand as risk-based capital for our self-insured plans that we have. In 2013, PEB released a request for proposal for 2015 medical plans, and this resulted in the addition of three new vendors with a total of four new plans, and all of our new plans are coordinated care model plans. For the first time, PEB members in all 36 states have at least two choices of medical plans. The premiums for most of the plans for 2014 is lower than the 2014 premiums. And we're using coordinated care organization metrics in all of our contracts to hold our plans accountable for high quality care for our members. Our 2015 plans promote our member health and engagement using healthcare resources wisely. It's important to us that we reduce barriers for our members who have chronic care conditions such as asthma, diabetes, congestive heart disease, and coronary artery disease. We provide no cost preventive care on all of our plans, and we did that long before we were mandated to do so. We have low and no cost prescriptions. We have no cost substance abuse services, which has resulted in an increase in the use of these services, which we see as a good thing both medically and socially.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I'm so sorry. Could you go back one slide to your budget? Oh, no, sorry, back one more. I apologize.
That one?
I'm doing a little bit of quick arithmetic, and if I get my number, if I've gotten my zeros wrong, then Ms. Nass, I know, will correct me. But if I divide $1.65 billion by 130,000 covered lives, I get $12,692 per covered life per year. Am I off with that number, or am I right with that number?
That
sounds about right.
Yeah. Senator Steinhauer, that my math is the same.
2 years.
Oh, for 2 years.
For 2 years.
Thank you.
Okay, that helps a little bit. I always do this. I always forget about the biennial problem. I can't tell you what time. Regardless, do we have any idea how that number compares to a standard commercial insurance plan? So somebody, for example, was buying insurance off the exchange through Moda or Cambia or any of the other commercial plans available. Do we have any idea what their average cost per covered life is per year?
Chair Nathanson and Senator Steinhauer, I don't have that at the top of my head, but I'm happy to see what I can find out from the exchange to get what that is. I just want to note, with the exchange, it's obviously different benefits.
Sure.
And we cover...
We have a pretty rich benefit plan.
Right.
I understand that. I'm just trying to have a general sense. I mean, certainly some of the gold plans, for example, have pretty high benefit levels. And I'd just be interested to know how these figures compare. I suspect we're doing pretty well, although it depends a little bit on the age distribution of those covered lives, like how many of us are covering our children, who generally aren't very costly, versus how many are single beneficiary, just covering themselves and not covering family members. So I'm just curious. So,
Co-Chair Nathanson and Senator Steiner Hayward, could I also add that within our stabilization account, we are required to hold a set of money available because we are self-insured. So that is also included in our stabilization fund.
So then a very quick follow-up, if I may. Thank you, Madam Chair. So does that mean that you don't actually spend $1.65 billion per biennium? You keep some of that? I guess then I'd be interested to know what you're actually, then it's a different number.
I'm not asking that question.
Chair Nicholson, Senator Steiner Hayward. I think on slide 32, there's a really good visual showing what's
great.
What's actually
Sorry to have jumped
rates
the gun.
Versus the actual spend on benefits.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think we did that one already. So now I just have a series of maps here so you can see which plans are available. Down in the southern area, we have AllCare. It's a new offering this year. It's a coordinated care model plan. Trillium, Balanced by Trillium, is only in Lane County. It's new this year also, and it's a coordinated care model plan. Kaiser has been with us for quite a while. They continue to be up in the northwest area of the valley. Moda Summit is a new coordinated care model plan, and it is on the east side only. And then Moda Synergy is a coordinated care model network that is available in the northwest area. Providence Choice has been with PEB since about 2006, so they have a pretty good size footprint across the state. And then we have the PEB statewide plan available to all of our members. PEB's core benefits are medical, dental, vision, and basic employee life. All of these benefits, for at least for most of our employees, are paid. The premiums are shared between the employee and the employer.
Can I ask a question there?
Yeah.
Can you say something about behavioral health?
Oh.
Is that come later?
No. Co-chair Nathanson and Rep. Kenny Geyer. Behavioral health is included in our medical plans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
it's
you.
A portion of that. For optional benefits, PEB has life insurance, accidental death and dismemberment, long-term and short-term disability, long-term care. And then we have several flexible spending accounts, one for dependent care, health care, and a new one for commuter care benefits. Those are all paid at 100% by the employee. And then we have an employee assistance program that is paid by the employer.
Representative Boone. Yeah, thank you. Can you tell what commuter benefits are?
Sure. Co-Chair Nathanson and Representative Boone, that is a benefit that's available for members to put money into a pre-tax into a savings account that they can use to pay for van pools, public.
Okay.
Yes,
commuter.
Yes, commuter. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. In 2012, we implemented the health PEB's health engagement model. It requires employees to complete a health assessment and then two healthy activities that are important to them and helps move them down their own personal continuum of health. We have some examples of the activities that are available for our, both our health engagement model members and for non-members as well. We have Healthy Team, Healthy You, which is an at-work team-based program. We have Mood Helper, which is an online program for mental health, depression specifically. We have a gym subsidy that's available to our members that use the gym 8 times a month or more. We have HEM incentives, and all of these are available at no cost to our member.
Madam Chair,
thank you.
Representative Boone and Senator Steinberg.
Oh, thank you. I have a question about the gym subsidy, and I don't know how you would do it, but there some people live a ways away from a gym, so we have our own home gym. We bought equipment, we use it, you know, whatever. Is there any way you can help with that? Because that's a real issue with some people because, it, you know, and I can just speak for myself. It's a 30-minute each-way drive. And if I were to do that every day, that's a lot of driving.
Can I just ask my question because it ties
Certainly.
In and I think she
That's
can answer
great.
Both of them at once?
Certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask the same question. I'm a gym member, but during session, there's no way on God's green earth I'm getting there 2 days a week because I'm here 5 days a week and my gym is 50-something miles away. So my previous employer, well, still my employer, but not the one I get benefits from anymore, had a system where you could log exercise in other ways in an online system, and I wonder if PEB's considering anything like that because of issues that Representative Boone points out or for those of us who spend 5 or 6 months a year here when our gyms are not here.
Co-Chair Nathanson and members of the committee. We have not considered that. We can look into it. Currently it is just a program to reimburse members for the cost of their membership in the gym, but we can look into that. We'll put that on our list.
Thank you.
Okay. In the 2015-17 governor's budget, we find that the PEBS fully insured plan premiums are a fixed cost and act as a pass-through from PEB, and those are, and then our fully insured plans mean that plans take the risk. We pay them a per member per month to take care of our members, and they take the risk for that. PEB also has self-insured plans, and these expenditures are variable. We pay for the claim cost dollar for dollar, and then for all of these members, PEB assumes the risk for all of the claims costs. In the budget actions, PEB is looking forward to being an active partner in the healthiest state challenge that is out there now. And the governor's budget transfers $120 million out of our stabilization fund into the state general fund. As you'll see on the next slide, the majority of our members became self-insured in 2010. At that time, the margin between premiums and costs PEB was able to retain those in our reserve account. In the consecutive years of costs coming under projected trend, created an excess. So transferring the $120 million will still leave us enough money to be for our self-insured risk-based capital. So this chart just shows the difference between actual and projected composite rates. So in 2010, when the two lines start to diverge is when we went self-insured, and PEB began to be able to retain any margin or profit.
So, Madam Chair, can I ask my follow-up question now? Now I'm even more confused. So you're saying that the average composite rate per PEB employee is about $1,200 a month, if I'm reading that right now? And that's the premium per employee?
Co-Chair Nathanson and Senator Steiner Hayward, the composite rate is actually our funding rate. It's the amount of money, it's the amount of money that is paid that the agencies receive to cover the cost of the benefits. We receive okay. Now we're getting into the weeds. You want to go?
Yeah, I can try. Chair Nathanson, Senator Steiner Hayward. I think when it's self-insured, we consider it premium a little different, and I think that's where I have struggled with explaining it and looking at it from the marketplace, and Ollie's probably better one to answer this now that I'm thinking it. But premium is what we charge the agencies, and it's about, you're right, you're per employee around $1,200 per employee gets put into, comes to PEB for revenues. Now, when we talk about what then is paid out, it can either go out to one of the fully insured plans in a premium payment to the fully insured plan, or it's a amount of money that goes into the PEB stabilization reserve, and we pay claims off of that. So, Kathy, am I? And then, there's all sorts of different averages that we have to take because of the different ways that we make payments for health care.
Quick follow-up, if I may. Okay, now I'm even more confused.
Oh,
I apologize. Ms. Nass, I know you're trying hard and it's complicated. It may be that we need to take this conversation offline, and if so, that's fine. But so going back to the arithmetic I did several slides ago, that averaged out to a cost per member per year of $6,000 per member per year. Right, for covered life per year, for 130,000 covered lives divided into $1.65 billion, whatever the magic number is there, it came out to $6,200, roughly speaking, per member per year. But we're talking about a premium rate of $1,200 per employee per month. So I mean, obviously, it's not per member. So, I don't know what percentage of that 130,000 people are actually employees themselves. And obviously, it's going to vary. Some of us cover our families, and some people don't. I'm getting pretty tangled up in these numbers, and maybe we should just take this offline, and somebody could come and sit down and talk with me about this to understand it. Because I'm having a little trouble understanding the math here.
Senator Sternhagen, we can definitely come back with a, you know, outlining the math for you on a per member versus a per employee. If that would be helpful, we can definitely do that and supply that to the committee if they're interested.
Senator Whiteboard works
quite
well.
We do want to see that.
Yeah, thank you.
And Senator Sternhagen, I do want to just add one more complexity that also includes optional benefits on the $1.64 billion.
Right.
That's not all on the health care spend only, because that also includes the revenues they receive for life insurance and whatnot. So I just want to say we'll have to do some math
that $1,200 per employee per month does include all those optional benefits for the composite rate, right?
Chair Nathanson, Senator Steiner Hayward. It does. The actual legislatively adopted budget, approved budget, does include optional benefits, core benefits, as well as HEM incentive payments. Any of the outflows from PEB that run through our statewide accounting system and roll up to budget, that's correct. The actual premium composite rate, the inflows from agencies that come to PEB, those are not captured in budget. Those are an adopted composite rate by the board, recommended by our consultant to fund the risk of our plans and recover the costs, essentially, to provide those plans for the upcoming plan year. And then the actual costs are all the outflows from PEB, for fully insured premiums to plans, reimbursing claims payments for our self-insured plans, and that's just the number that's divided by the number of employees statewide to come up with the actual composite rate. And the actual cost, the outflows, are what is what our budget is based on.
You know what? There are several different objectives, really, in what we're doing. This committee, full ways and means, the legislature has to approve your revenue, how you're getting money in, and has to approve the money that you're sending out, that you're making in payments. There are legal as well as very technical reasons to keep track of all that money, every dollar that's coming into you, whether it's from a public source, a private source, an employee who's paying into something. We need to keep track as stewards of the public money, of every dollar that comes into the state and every dollar that we send out. However, for us to understand the difference between what employees are paying, are choosing to do on their own voluntarily, versus what an employer is obligated through contract negotiation or through some other plan, what's an obligation versus what's voluntary, I think we need to very clearly understand the difference. So, yes, we need to manage the budget for legal and technical reasons, but we also want to understand what real costs are. I think we need to look at this in two different ways, not only in, here's all the money that went out. I'm glad we can see that, but I think we have to be pretty careful to make that distinction. Otherwise, it's going to be pretty easy, I believe, for some people to assume an elevated risk and an elevated cost that really aren't there, since we're adding a bunch of other money into this picture.
Madam Chair, Senator, if I may, perhaps it would be helpful to the committee. I would happily volunteer to sit down with some folks from PEB and plow through a bunch of questions for an hour or so and put together perhaps a more detailed analysis that would be helpful to members of the committee, rather than just having them send them some stuff and then us still have questions. If you think that would be helpful to the committee, I'd be happy to volunteer to do that.
Thank you. Let's wait. Director Saxton is going to.
Certainly.
Good morning. Lynn Saxton, Director of the Oregon Health Authority. I want to offer up that seminar or kind of briefing session on self-insurance, how PEB and OEB fit within that, and kind of the detailed whiteboard discussion, as Representative Olson said. of how all these metrics work. I think our assumption was, and we're kind of baked into this stuff pretty deep down now, and our assumption was we were just taking that as a for granted, but it's very worthwhile understanding how it works. It's critical that you do so. So we will work with our LFO staff to schedule that opportunity, and we look forward to doing it.
Thank you very much. Our current budget is capped at 3.4% increase from the last biennium, so we will be working to stay within that amount. And we'll take a look at OEB. OEB has a larger board. They have two members representing school boards, two representing education management, four representing education non-management, two health policy experts, one member representing local government management, and one member representing local government non-management. They currently have three vacant seats. One was just filled. Here's the organizational chart. Again, the administrator position is shared between PEB and OEB, and although we do work together, we recognize we have different populations with different needs. OEB serves school districts, education service districts, charter schools, community colleges, counties, and special districts. They currently have Klamath County and Josephine County purchased through them, and two special districts, Coquille Valley Hospital and Oak Lodge Sanitary District, purchased through OEB currently. Here's a chart showing enrollment over the years. In the middle years, there was a decrease in enrollment across the board, but specifically in medical. Part of that was due to employees opting out or waiving coverage, and school districts reduced the number of employees they had during those years. You can see that medical enrollment popped back up this year. Vision benefits have always been an optional benefit, so they don't have the same enrollment level as medical does. OEB's revenue sources, for their operating fund, they also have a 2% maximum on an assessment on premiums. Their assessment is currently at 0.9% of premiums. They have a revolving fund as well. This money is there to be used for wellness programs, stabilizing rates as necessary. Okay. Here's the slide. All right, there you go. OEB's total fund budget is 1.65%. Their operating fund is about 7% of that, or $12.3 million. The balance of the funds are held in the stabilization reserve for self-insured plans if they ever get enough money in there to be able to do that. They use that also for the wellness programs and to stabilize their premiums. In 2014-15, OEB added two coordinated care model plans. They added the MODA Summit and the MODA Synergy. They will be going out for a medical request for proposal during the summer of this year, looking for more plans. They added a high deductible health HMO plan, with an HSA this year, which is a different kind of plan combination.
May I ask?
Yes.
Thank you. So on the graphs, there's declining enrollees. Can you explain that?
This one?
Yes.
Okay. Representative Kenny Geyer and Co-Chair Nicholson.
Actually,
it's just in different colors.
Okay.
I had trouble figuring it out, too. Theirs is all in blue, and ours is in
blue. And so that one doesn't say... yes, it does. It says it on the right side. Ours is on the bottom. But it goes down over time, so I'm just curious.
Yeah. The middle years, which would be 2010-11 through 2013-14, there was several things that happened in there. More employees opted out of coverage, more employees waived coverage, and then school districts also reduced the number of employees that they had overall that were available.
Would you please explain the difference between opted out and waived?
Sure. Co-Chair Nathanson, opting out is a member can choose not to take benefits, and an employer
most often pays them money not to do that. And when you waive service or waive coverage, you don't get any payment at all for that. If you opt out of coverage, you need to have coverage through another employer-based plan.
So that might be a partner or a spouse?
Correct.
And take us through again, who's choosing opt-out and who's choosing waive?
Co-Chair Nathanson, any employee that has coverage through another employer-based coverage can opt out, and any employee can waive. That's the same on the OEB side, or on the PEB side. All of our members have the option of opting out and receiving money in lieu of benefits, or they can waive coverage, which means they get no coverage whatsoever. If you opt out, you can still participate in the optional benefits, but not medical, dental, or vision benefits.
Why would anybody waive?
I'm going to follow up.
Thank you.
And then I'll ask for Representative Boone. I'm extremely puzzled when the federal government and the state of Oregon are working mightily to make sure everyone has health insurance coverage. I think I just heard you say we're making it easy for people to choose not to have any insurance?
Co-Chair Nathanson, health insurance. It is an option if they choose to waive for whatever reason that they have. The number of people that waive insurance is very, very, very tiny. And we've never done any sort of survey to find out what the thinking is behind that. The number of members that opt out is quite a bit higher, and they do that rather than pay their premium share under two different plans. They take it through, they get in coverage through either another employer or their spouse or domestic partner. But the number of people that waive is very, 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 very tiny.
I'm somewhat relieved to hear that. As a policy, though, I'm still puzzled. Representative Boone, do you still have
and
a question?
I actually do have several questions, but I'll just ask this one now about the opting out. And you said it was only the health coverage part, but not the vision, dental, et cetera. And so what I'm wondering is, and you said it must be covered by another employer's coverage. So if you say a employee wanted to opt out, and go out in the market, the general market, and get their own coverage. Could they do that?
Co-Chair Nathanson, Representative Boone, they could opt. They could not. They could waive coverage and go out onto the market if they wanted to. But to opt out, it has to be an employer-based insurance. You can't opt out if you have Medicare and shift the risk from the employer to Medicare or to Medicaid, but you can opt out to another employer-based insurance.
Well, follow up. So if, say you had a second job then, and it just had to be an employer-based?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Senator, did you?
Really, just a quick one. I could imagine somebody waiving if we had OEB members who were Christian Scientists, for example, and weren't choosing to get traditional health care coverage, and not having a spouse because their spouse was also of that religious persuasion or something like that. That's the only time I could see people doing that. I mean, otherwise, I just don't see it making any sense at all.
Representative.
Thank you, Chair. Wanted to chime in on this now. I'm not speaking to, PEB benefits, but I've known a number of people previously that their employer, the deductible was so high. I mean, $7,500 deductible, and especially if you're a single individual, they could waive. The employer increased their paycheck a little bit, and they could go on the private market, pick up much better insurance, and wanted lower deductibles and so forth. So I've seen that done quite frequently, and that's the type of waiving that I've seen. I don't know why they would with PEB when you don't have a $7,500 deductible, but.
OEB's medical plans have reduced barriers for certain chronic conditions through low copayments and no deductibles in most of the plans that they carry. They have a program through Better Choices, Better Health, and the Diabetes Prevention Pilot that promote chronic self-care, chronic disease self-care. They provide preventive care at no cost on all their plans, including the high deductible plans, even before there was a federal mandate to do so. They work with the local, regional, and national purchasers on value-based benefits, and the out-of-pocket maximums on all of their plans are well below the federal maximum. They also use data-driven decisions. They have a work group called the Strategies on Evidence and Outcomes. This group reviews benefit design using information from the Health Evidence Review Commission and OHSU's Center for Evidence-Based Policy. OEB has many more offerings than PEB does. You can see they have 8 statewide, 8 coordinated care model, and 3 regional plans. They also have a tool, an online tool that members can use because they have so many options that helps direct them to the plan that would be most cost effective for them. Members can enter in their expected cost for the year, what their premium share is going to be, and the system will show them what plan would be most advantageous. It also gives them suggestions on how much money they could put into an FSA to save even more money. OEB has 7 dental plans, and they have 5 vision plans available, depending on where you live. And some maps here to show you what's available in the different areas of the state. Kaiser is available in the northwest area of the valley. Moda Summit in the eastern side. Moda Synergy is on the the northwest valley. Plus, they have the 2 counties down below, Jackson and Josephine. And then they have a statewide program as well. For optional benefits, they have life, accidental death, and dismemberment, long and short-term disability, and long-term care. They have health savings accounts that are available with the high deductible health plans, flexible spending accounts for health care and dependent care, and in October they will also be adding the commuter benefit.
I would like to ask you to speak just a little more about the health savings account and flexible spending accounts. How many people are using that? How is it working? Does the availability of these accounts have any generally positive or negative impact on how people are choosing to use health care? Is it helping keep them healthier? I like the idea of these optional programs, but it does take extra work, extra effort. So how is it working out?
Co-Chair Nathanson, the flexible spending account is available to anyone. It doesn't matter what medical plan that you take. And this is a plan where you put pre-tax dollars to pay yourself back for any medical costs that you have, including office visits, pharmacy, co-payments, co-insurance, even travel. If you travel, you can get reimbursement. For the health savings account, those are available only if you take a high deductible health plan. I can get you that. I don't have the numbers on top of my head of who's enrolled in those. All of the plans, no matter which plan you take, has wellness preventive services available at no cost and wellness visits at no cost as well.
Thank you, Senator.
I just took a request to consider one other thing. I have heard from many people that the flexible spend, very frankly, from my own personal experience, the flexible spending account is hard to use, that there's a lot of back and forth between the company that manages that benefit, and some other companies have asked their third-party administrators to take on that responsibility because it's all for the health part of it, and to actually basically automatically pay back the parts that the beneficiary has to pay. And that's worked pretty well for everybody, and it's actually reduced costs because you don't have to contract with another firm altogether. So I don't know if that's even an option, especially now that fortunately you've increased the number of plans available, but It might be worth trialing because it's pretty hard to use for a lot of people, and frankly, the administrator has not been ultimately helpful for some people.
Representative Boone. Thank you. And just to add on to Senator Steiner Hayward, I do it, and one of the newer requirements are one of the reasons to have an FSA is you get to take or use the payments for over-the-counter things. But now, in order to use over-the-counter things, you have to have a note from your doctor. And it has to be on a prescription pad. It has to be prescription for Advil or whatever it is. So, and that gets cumbersome because then you're calling the doctor's clinic and
that's
trying to get that.
Federal.
Is that what?
That was federal, unfortunately, I believe. That was with the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, okay.
It's not their fault.
No, I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying that that's one of the issues because a lot of people I know do that. And if you have to go for every over-the-counter thing that you're trying to do less calls to a medical clinic, et cetera, you know, it's cheaper to do it yourself. No, sorry, Dr. Steiner.
No, it's fine.
Madam Chair, since...
Representative Olson.
Yeah, I figure I should, might as well just chip in, too. I actually like the flexible spending account. I've been quite pleased with it, so. There you go.
That's very helpful.
And I just realized that, oh, darn, even though I did have an instruction on a notepad, a prescription pad from a doctor, I haven't been using my FSA to pay for vitamins.
See?
There you go.
So... Coach Nathanson, if you work fast, you have until tomorrow to submit your own.
I just sent a text to somebody to
note to yourself. All right. OEB has a program kind of like the health engagement model. They call theirs the OEB Healthy Futures Program. It also requires that members complete a health assessment and then two healthy activities. They have kind of a low participation rate. Their participation rate is 10%. PEBS is about 80%. So they are looking at ways to change their timeline to get people more engaged in participation in that next open enrollment.
Yes,
Representative
Olson. I'm curious, 10% only participate in this? Any reason why? I mean, gosh, especially when you look at what's going on with HEB.
Representative Olson, Co-Chair Nathanson, there are several different things that happened that are going on with OEB. First of all, they allowed 6 months for members to complete their health assessment. Some of that was based on PEB's, experience when we rolled it out, and our 2 months did not seem to be enough time. So they gave them 6 months, and I think it just got... 6 months is a long time to remember to do things. And then they really don't have much of an incentive to give members. If you participate, you get a reduction of $100 in your deductible, unlike PEB, where you get $17.50 in your check per month. So it's a little bit different. And so they're going to change their timeline, try and get people to get engaged at the time that they do their open enrollment, when they're thinking about it, and hopefully that'll help. Raise that up a little bit. The good news is that all the programs that are available that would be considered healthy activities are available whether you're in the program or not. So you can still use Weight Watchers, Healthy Team, Healthy You, all those programs are available.
Representative,
thank you.
In that vein, how is the incentive program for the non-smoking, for example, going when people get, I think you get $35 if your other person doesn't smoke too. Is that true?
Representative Boone, Co-Chair Nathanson, it's $25 per month per person for the adult or for the employee and for the spouse or domestic partner if they use tobacco.
Well, if they don't, is what I'm saying.
No, there's a surcharge if they do use tobacco.
But I thought there was an incentive payment if you didn't.
Representative Boone, Co-Chair Nathanson, no, there's an incentive payment to the member if they participate in the health engagement model, but we charge them an additional $25 per month if they use tobacco. We have found on the PEB side, we allow members that quit tobacco to submit a form mid-year, and we stop the surcharge. But we also find that people who start smoking mid-year will submit a form, and we begin to charge them mid-year.
Did they used to give $17.50 a month or $35? No?
Representative Boone, Co-Chair Nathanson, that is the health engagement model. $17.50 is for that. That's not related to the tobacco. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought it was.
Two different.
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
Two different things.
All
Thank you. People didn't fill it out because
so we have separate programs, and also to remember that right now we're talking about OEB. A little while ago we were talking about PEB. There are just different choices and options that have been developed for each of these systems.
Correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's the end of my presentation. Are there any other questions you might have for us?
Representative, I ask it. I'm not on this committee all the time, but I ask people whenever I have a forum. Have you ever done any research on other countries and how they approach this prevention model, sort of a preemptive, do it backwards? So you give them, they things cost less if they keep themselves healthy. You know, I'm being pretty broad here, but I think it's Japan is one of them I've heard, or one of the countries in Asia that pays, or maybe it's Scandinavia, they pay the people to stay healthy, basically. Have you ever heard of that or considered that? That's just so not our model here, I know.
No, we have not looked at that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Are there other questions? We look forward to hearing a response from you on a couple of things, and that will... because one of them is actually might be a pretty big task, we don't expect that that has to appear within 24 hours in our inbox or on OLIS. We appreciate that you're going to work on it and provide us a different way of looking at this, the per member versus per employee, and mandatory versus optional, and all those different ways to look at the costs. Since I don't see any more questions, we're done with this hearing for the day. Ms. Ames, what's tomorrow?
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, tomorrow we start with public health's presentation. We also have two federal grants that we'll hear tomorrow, so we'll need to have a quorum for that work session. And the presentation for public health will go 2 days.
Thank you very much. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Oh, I just came in.
And then the other one was the.
Should have stayed there.
And then the other one was the.
Should have stayed there.
Thank you.
Oh, I just came.